minutes a woman in this country is beaten. One in four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Three women and one man each day is murdered in the United States by a significant other. And one out of three teens have reported being hit, pushed, or slapped by a boyfriend or girlfriend. Chicago gets 200,000 domestic violence calls each year, and there are 12,000 active orders of protection in the Chicago area. With us to talk about this very pervasive problem here and all over the United States is a judge who sits in that courtroom, in those courtrooms, Judge Patrice Ball Reed. Welcome to the show, Judge.
Thank you. Good. Glad to be here.
Good to see you. You sit in a courthouse on Harrison, and it's this big, massive courthouse, fairly new in build, and all you hear there is domestic violence. Does that still continue to shock you that we have such a pervasive problem?
Not really, because it happens so often, and many people don't talk about it, but when they do talk about it, they need the services, they need the protection, and so we need to have that kind of system in place to help them.
Now, I guess, you know, the Me Too issue has to do with mostly workplace issues, harassment, but when it crosses over into violence, then we have something different, and that is what your courtroom deals with. Is it helpful for you to try to have some psychological understanding of not only the victims who are subject to this abuse, but also the perpetrators and how they have come to be people who are abusive?
Well, in the building at Harrison, it's actually civil and criminal, and I do civil. That means you want someone to stay away from you. And as much as I would like, I don't have the resources to really get the other person some help. The bottom line is someone wants them to stay away from them. Many of them should pursue some criminal issues, but they don't, because they just want them to stay away. They don't want to necessarily go to jail, but if they go to criminal, they can have criminal liability.
So what is your typical case of an order of protection? Somebody comes in and they want an order of protection. What are the general allegations? I know everything's different, but
when they come over to Harrison, they go and they have to fill out a lot of paperwork. And the reality is that when they're coming in, they're representing themselves. So they have to realize they're going to have to prove their case to the judge to even get the emergency order, because they're coming there ex parte, meaning they're coming there by themselves. The other side is not there. So they're going to fill out the paperwork, and then when they come to talk to the judge, they're going to have to prove that they were harmed in some fashion or would be harmed in some fashion. So they have to explain all the conduct that occurred to cause them to come to court.
So what's a typical case? Let's take one where there's actual physical violence.
A woman came in at one point, and she had been in a car with the respondent, and he had a hammer, and he was trying to hit her in the knees with the hammer, and she got out of the car, and he chased her down the street. For whatever reason, she was able to get away, and she came to request order protection, and when she was there, I was thinking to myself, why aren't you going to the criminal route? Get the police report. Go through that process. And she explained she just wanted him to stay away. She didn't necessarily want him to go to jail. She just wanted him to stay away.
And when I think people have an idea that if it's he says, she says, you lose. But that's not the case, because most domestic violence, or much of domestic violence, is something that happens in private.
Correct. When they come in, they're going to be by themselves, so they're going to get an order, emergency order, in most instances. When the other side comes in after they're served, then it's a matter of hearing both sides, because sometimes it's not true. Sometimes they've come in because they want leverage in a divorce case. Sometimes they've come in just to get the person to understand, I'm tired of what you're doing to me, but they initially do get an emergency order in most instances.
So the procedure is they fill out the paperwork, they come in by themselves, they are sworn in front of you.
Correct.
You listen to their case, you listen to the facts, you listen to the harm. You generally will enter an order of protection, generally, not always. And then 10 days later or so, the person is served, and now they have to come to court and testify, and then you make a decision about whether there will be a long-term order of protection. When you are judging credibility, and we talked to Judge Richardson's a little bit about this, but how do you make a determination as to whether someone is telling the truth, and what kinds of evidence is helpful to you?
Well, the person being able to explain what happened, what should have been an emergency, meaning maybe 3 days ago something occurred. Sometimes persons are just angry, And so they've come in. Sometimes they are very afraid, but it just depends on what they say to me. But they have to tell me something that says there's going to be some harm and that they are really afraid, because sometimes they're not afraid. They just want them to stay away, but they've come to court to request this, as opposed to talking to the person, say, just stay away from me, because the respondents generally don't accept what they're saying. Because some guys have come in and said, well, I wanted closure. They kept coming around, and she was saying, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be friends with you. I don't want to date you anymore. But he kept coming. And so that level of harassment is sometimes the case, as opposed to somebody really just punching somebody or physically harming them.
And there's not just, as you alluded to, not just physical harm here. We have, and as you know, Judge, I'm involved in family law, and I see a lot of cases where, and again, when I say female, it goes both ways.
Correct.
Believe me, I have seen it both ways. In fact, I just had a case that came before to my attention where the guy had been subjected for 17 years to such abuse, verbal abuse, over the years, that when he finally got out of the relationship, he could finally sleep. He finally could sleep through the night. His blood pressure went down. He didn't need his pills anymore. And he realized that he was in the midst of real domestic abuse, whether it was not physical, but it was certainly verbal. And so I see that effect on parties. And your cases can handle that too, is right?
Correct.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be physical. It can just be financial abuse, which is, can you explain to our listeners what financial abuse is?
Well, that mostly happens with the elderly. I was dually assigned to the elder abuse. Well, it's called elder remedies and not called elder abuse, and domestic violence. And people who have children or grandchildren who have come to their homes and taking their money, or taking them someplace to get money from them, and harming them in those kind of ways. So there can be financial abuse.
I've also seen where I'll just say men have no access to the bank account. Here's $100 for the month, and you're going to, either get gas or you can get food, one or the other. And so there's a lot of control issues when it comes to money, and money is control. So I do see a lot of that as well, which can be very emotionally harmful. We are talking about domestic violence with Judge Patrice Ball-Reed. If you have any questions for the judge, general questions about these types of issues, give us a call here at 312-981-7200. You're listening to WGN. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show. We are talking about domestic violence. If anyone has a question or comment, please call now, 312-981-7200, or text to that same number. And remember, at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, I will be taking your legal questions on any topic you might have, whether it's family law, small claims court, probate issues, general legal topics about the news that you might have for me. I'm happy to give it a stab and get you in the right direction. That number again is 312-981-7200. We're here with Judge Patrice Ball-Reed, who sits in the domestic violence court over on Harrison. Judge, thank you for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about the stalking. Stalking is something that's, I guess, a subset of abuse.
Actually, stalking is different. There's three different things that I can do in civil court. It's a civil no-contact stalking, and that's between persons who are generally not getting along. And then there's also civil, it's called sexual assault civil no-contact order, and that's non-consensual sexual contact.
Okay.
And that's also something that we deal with in civil orders of protection.
So the first one is you can basically order that you don't talk to her anymore. You can't text her, you can't phone her, you can't go to her house, you can't do that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Stay away from that
person.
Stay away
from the person, yes.
And then the sexual part of that is, you can't get close to that person, you can't have sex with her, you can't.
Right.
Okay. Now let's talk about stalking, because that's a little bit different, but it's got some of the same elements. Tell me what stalking is.
Well, the stalking has grown into something that it shouldn't have become. when the legislation was first instituted, it was basically a woman who could not get an order of protection because she didn't have a relationship with the person. This person was trying to have a relationship with her, sending her gifts, calling on the phone and doing those kinds of things, but she didn't know this person. And that's how the stalking kind of cases were created. Now, it should have been narrowed to that kind of conduct, but over the years it's expanded and people come in when they're having a fight with their neighbor. It's basically people coming in who don't have a connection either through marriage or blood. So any number of people come in for stalking orders.
And what's a typical case? Can you think of something that is a typical case that you see in the area of stalking?
Many times, unfortunately, it's women coming in when their significant other is dating someone else as well, and they're trying to get back at this person, so it's a way to harass them. You finally figure it out when both of them are in court, but when it's initially started, they have to have at least three instances where they were harmed by this person, and they have to testify to that, and then we try to serve the other side. If the other side is served, then they're both going to come in. But situations like that, it's really any number of times it can be just harassment.
I think there's a perception, Judge, that I hear women say, why would I get an order of protection? That's just going to make him more angry, and he's not going to follow it anyway. If he goes outside the bounds of decency and calls me and calls me and calls me 600 times and I have it on my cell phone, what makes me think that an order of protection is going to help the situation? Do you see a lot of people think that way?
Well, the civil orders, what happens is if the person violates the civil order, there can be criminal liability. It can become a misdemeanor, so that it would raise the level of, I guess, rehabilitating them in terms of, okay, I understand it was just stay away, now I may go to jail, so they may stop. If they escalate, they can have more jail time.
Okay. And do the police take orders of protection seriously, in your view?
I think they do, because someone could be harmed and they don't want that on their conscience. And so they do take them seriously. Many times they will just say to somebody, go to 555, even as opposed to doing a police report or doing anything to get the person arrested, they will have them come over to get an order.
And I mean, in my view, I think the domestic calls that police, I went on a police ride along a long time ago as part of the Chicago Bar Association program, so I got to ride along, and I saw a lot of things. I saw shooting, I saw gang problems, but the ones that were, to me, the police treated, they were more afraid of those calls were the domestic violence calls, because everyone was heated up. There were drugs and alcohol involved. There was yelling and screaming. There were people being thrown out of the house with their underwear on and being told they have to go walk home. And it was a very, you know, I'm giggling, but it really obviously wasn't funny to the people who were involved. But you see emotions running high. Is that your cold court?
Yes,
is,
I'm sure that's why the police send them to get an order, because sometimes by the time they get to the building, they've calmed down. And so what happens many times, it's an initial conflict, and they just want them away for a few minutes as opposed to 6 months. And so the police would send them to get an order and give them some time to think about what they really want. Because at the moment, of course, as you said, it's heated, and they really want the person away and don't want to talk to them and don't want to see them. But sometimes it's just the heat of the moment. Other situations, it's a prolonged situation where they definitely need to get an order, and they have to make that decision for themselves.
Do you see a lot of, and I'll say women, who get an order of protection and then basically violate it themselves, go right back with the boyfriend?
Yes, they do. They do that a lot. Because, like I said, it's the heat of the moment, and so they want to order, they're angry, they want them to stay away, and unfortunately, sometimes it really is a situation where they need the person in the household to help pay the rent.
I'm going to go to a texter who said, hello, Karen, I wanted to ask the judge about an abusive spouse with narcissistic personality disorder. I can ask for an order of protection, but when he comes in, he will be charming and deny everything. And that's an interesting question, because you probably have read a lot about narcissistic personalities, and they have very similar traits, and one of them is that. They can be Dr. Jekyll. They can be angry and controlling, and then, in the right frame of mind, can be extremely manipulative and charming. Do you see some of that?
Well, that's the thing about it. When you're sitting there listening to both sides, you have to weigh who's more credible and who's not credible. And unfortunately, sometimes they finally get, they know that they are lying, and so you can tell they're lying because they start looking away. They're not paying attention. They're not being direct, and so you can most times you can tell when they're not telling the truth.
Another texter said, my elderly mother has dementia, and I have power of attorney. The sisters are asking her for money. This is very confusing, and she gets obsessed with helping them. She has no money to spare. Is that the type of elder abuse you're talking about?
Or yes. That's the situation where you want these certain persons to stay away. Unfortunately, with situations like that, the siblings are in conflict with each other, and the parent is in the middle, and the parent may come in and say, oh, no, I'm okay.
Right.
I really don't have a problem. But the reality is they need some protection. So you weigh the situation when they're all there.
Yeah, and that's a hard one because you're right. The siblings, half of them could say, no, we're doing everything for her. And the other half could say, no, you're taking your money and going on vacation. One final issue is cyber stalking. Do you deal with that issue in your court?
That has not come up as much because it's not really a part of what we've been working on over in Harrison. It's become more a criminal situation, so I haven't seen it much in civil court.
Because it seems to me that that's really a big part of where I see things really getting exacerbated, because stalking someone is one thing, but if you're putting things on social media and going at somebody that way, that's just a whole other force.
Well, you can come into court and request that all that social media be destroyed or deleted, and if they violate it, then you come back in to get the enforcement. But that's as hard as it's going to get, really.
Thank you so much for joining us, Patrice Ball-Reed, who sits in the Domestic Violence Court. It was very nice to meet you and talk to you about this really important issue.